Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I
have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. We know you have a ton of choices out there. When I woke up this morning, it was 9 degrees in Denver. So I am most definitely dreaming of February when I can get the hell out of here and get myself to Acapulco, Mexico for Anarcapulco 2023, February 6th through the 10th. If you're interested in joining me out there, please do. You can go to anarcapulco.com and use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money on tickets and things like that. The link will be in the description. It's not just me, obviously. We're going to have Max Egan, Larkin Rose, David Icke, Dr. Ron Paul, Dan Dix, Del Bigtree, Mark Passio, Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Carrie Midday, and a bunch of other people. If you have kids and you want to take them with you, make this into like a vacation, you can do that too. They have a kids camp component too. So crypto stages, anarchy stage, kids camp, all sorts of crazy speakers that are going to be there. Should be a fun time. If you're interested, check it out, narcopoco.com, promo code MACRO. Also, thanks to our newest sponsor, which people are really starting to appreciate. I can see the emails are coming in now from it. Legal Shield. I'm kicking myself for not doing this sooner, really. I'm glad. Better late than never, I suppose, but I'm a little bit late to the party. Legal Shield has been doing this for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Look, this is what it is. It is the power of all of us coming together and buying high-priced lawyers, access to high-priced attorneys at reasonable prices. And when I say reasonable prices, I mean $30 a month. It's a dollar a day. You have access to an attorney in your area. Average attorney you'll be working with has 22 years of experience. So this is not some brand new law firm. It's available in America and in Canada. International customers, I apologize, not available where you are. But look, think about this. Let's be reasonable and practical here. We're all going to die. We're going to need a will. Some of us have it. Some of us don't. If you've got one, when was the last time you've updated it? If you don't have one, I know why you're procrastinating on this, because nobody wants to spend a couple thousand dollars on these documents. It's money that could be spent elsewhere. You don't like to think about what happens when you're gone. You figure, oh, that'll happen 40 years from now. It's not going to happen. Hopefully it does happen 40 years from now. Hopefully you put together your last will and testament and you don't need it for a while. But you might need a financial power of attorney. You might need a medical power of attorney. Look, I just mentioned I'm going to speak at an anarchist conference. All right. The last thing in the world you want to do is leave your affairs, your personal affairs, up to the state of all of the organizations and institutions that can be in charge of your personal affairs. The last one you want to be in charge of it is the state. And that's what happens when you die in America and you don't have a will. Then the state and the government gets involved. Look, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm not trying to bring up the fact that we're all mortal and we're going to have to deal with this. The theme of this show is let's be proactive, right? Get your paperwork affairs in order. You can sign up for Legal Shield. It's $30 a month. Immediately book yourself an appointment with the attorneys in your area. Tell them that you've got some paperwork that you need to knock out real quick. It's easy for them being, you know, it's difficult for us, but you get a good attorney that does it the right way so there are no issues. Knock that stuff out. Get yourself a couple of these documents done immediately. And then from that point on, look, if you have paperwork comes your way and you need an attorney to take a look at it, send it to them. If you're unsure about what your rights are in a particular situation, call your attorney. If you get a speeding ticket and you've got questions about it, talk to them. If your homeowners association has sent you a fine for some nonsense that you know is nonsense, but they're still going to fine you anyway, well, guess what they weren't expecting? They weren't expecting to hear from your attorney. I assure you that. There are a lot of organizations out there that will push you and push you and push you around because they know you're not going to do anything about it. It's time we level the playing field. So if this is something that sounds like you're interested in it, or you just want to read more about it, which I definitely suggest, we have a website landing page specific to this show, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. I wanted that domain because I don't like the idea of us getting pushed around by corporations or by people that have more money than us that have access to attorneys. So guess what? We're going to level up the playing field a little bit here. We're going to make sure that some of this power comes back to us. Please do not use this power for evil, okay? Don't go threatening people with your attorney if they haven't actually done anything to you, okay? That's my disclaimer to this. Don't be a jerk about it, all right? But also, don't allow yourself to get pushed around. I think it's reasonable. I think we need to stand up for ourselves. So knock out this legal document, all of them when you can. And don't be afraid to send a letter from your attorney if somebody's getting, going after you and you think it's unwarranted. So www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the domain website. Take a look, read up for yourself, see what you think. Chemical Free Body, thank you so much to Tim James. He comes on the show all the time. He gives us really great advice, things that we can do to improve our health that doesn't cost us anything. But if you're looking for vitamins, if this is the year you decide, you know what, I'm not procrastinating anymore. I'm not going to put this stuff off. I'm going to take my health into my own hands, which is the only way it's going to happen. Then do this. Go to chemicalfreebody.com and just take a look, do some shopping, see what you think, see what they've got. I'll tell you this. Their products work. In an industry where a lot of the products don't work, Chemical Free Body's products, they do work. I know this. I've been taking them for 2.5 years. I can tell you from personal experience. But if it doesn't work for you, guess what? Tim James has a double your money back guarantee. So he's so confident that he will, he'll make things right with you if you think that that they didn't work for you. You're not going to have that problem. You're just not. You found it. You found one of the few places that sells vitamins and supplements and things like that that actually work. So chemicalfreebody.com is the place to go. Use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. They have free shipping inside the United States. They're fantastic. We love dealing with them. We love Tim. He's fantastic to us. We like working with good people and maintaining those relationships. Well, let me tell you, we're going to get into a story about a bunch of people that aren't really good people. I have been going insane with this FTX story. Insane in a good way. I don't mean I fully expect all of this stuff. I expect scammy guys that are raising a lot of money from venture capital firms associated with the World Economic Forum. I expect them to all be scams. I do. I fully expect it. And like I said, I I know just enough about crypto to be dangerous. I wrote a book with Jeff Berwick. He owns a company called the Dollar Vigilante, and they also have a crypto vigilante component as well. He actually knows about crypto. I know what I read about crypto. Okay, I know a little bit about it. So I expect scams. In an emerging market like this, where you've got just obscene amounts of money flowing in, no real oversight, questions about how the computer science mechanics of it all works. And, oh, well, I've got my stuff here. It's protected. It's safe. Well, it's not as safe as you think it is, because some guy knows how to move your stuff off of this, you know, out of one account and into his account. You know, so there's a lot of there's room for scammers in the crypto industry, for sure. It goes without saying. When you've got that much money there, you're going to attract the wrong people. I think that is a fair assessment of the crypto industry. Not everyone's bad, and not every coin is bad. They're not all scammy. You know, some of them that have a lot of transparency are fantastic. Some of them that are focused on privacy, they serve a great purpose as well. But when you have tokens that are used for, you know, just allowing you to slosh money from one account to the other, then you start to get into, well, let's just say you get into a gray area. And the people in positions of power love gray areas. And they also like to use people and manipulate them. So I guess the question we're going to have to ask ourselves as this FTX scandal sort of implodes over the months and years as we learn more and more about it, we're going to have to ask ourselves, were these just a bunch of nerds hopped up on Adderall, having orgies, making wild trades, or was there something even more nefarious going on that was intentional? Well, I can tell you from just what I found right now, it's a little both. Okay. There's definitely some fraudulent activity going on here, undeniable. And there was definitely some weirdness happening at the headquarters. But there were also some very dangerous people around the periphery of this company that were funding them with money and inviting them to conferences and speaking on stages with them and getting really close. And so we're going to dig into this. Okay, we're going to dig into this. And I will tell you right now, as this is maybe, as of the recording of this, 2 weeks after the implosion began, and I know from experience that I know nothing at this point. You know, 2 weeks in is not a whole lot of time. I know from studying these other events that you need time. You need a little bit of time. Things will come out and things will develop. But we can't get in our time machine and go to the future quite yet. So we'll deal with what we know about. And what we know about so far is alarming. And we're going to, you know, I'm excited to see where things go. Look, I mean, the bad news is if you had your money on an FTX exchange, whether in America or internationally, first of all, there's an old saying in crypto, or as old as crypto is, I guess, not your keys, not your coins, right? So if you've got your money, your coins, your crypto sitting in an account, but you don't have private keys for that, meaning you don't have your own personal wallet, software wallet, or hardware wallet, you know, you can have, there's different types. But if your stuff is just sitting in an exchange, it's the equivalent of like going to the bank, withdrawing $1,000 from the bank. They give it to you in a nice little envelope. You write your name on it and you tell the bank teller, just keep this here. Just keep this right here on the counter for me. I'll be back in the next, I don't know, I'll be back in a couple of weeks when I need it. Bank teller would be like, excuse me, that's a bad idea. First of all, I'm not here all the time. I can't keep an eye out for your stuff. This is not where you want to like leave your, you're like, nope, it's good. I trust you. I'm just going to leave that envelope there with all my stuff. You watch out for it now. And then when it goes missing, you come back and go, where's my fucking money? And they go, we told you it was a bad idea to leave it here. That's what leaving your money on an exchange is like. Take it with you. Don't be stupid. Why would you trust any of these people? And it doesn't matter if it's FTX or Coinbase or Kraken or whoever. they tell you, don't leave your money on these exchanges. And maybe FTX didn't. Maybe FTX was like, oh yeah, leave all of your money on the exchange. I mean, this fucking penthouse in the Bahamas isn't going to pay for itself, man. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about who these people are. I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so dangerous and disappointing and going to have real world implications for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to lose their ass on this. And a lot of people will be lecturing them from the sidelines saying, this was all preventable. Yeah, like you did this to yourself. You got greedy and got into yield farming, or you got stupid and left your money on an exchange, or whatever. So let's talk about this. Sam Bankman-Fried, or as they are referring to him now, Scam Bankrun Fraud, 30 years old. This guy's got a lot of globalist connections. This is one of the first things that jumped out at me, was that he's got massive ties to the World Economic Forum and the Democratic Party. Okay. Now, it'd be one thing if he just had ties to the Democratic Party, because you'd say, well, he's a Democrat and he likes them and he's got money and he wants to help them and that's it. I would be willing to accept that, I guess, because I know that there are some people out there that are hardcore Republicans and they want to give their money to Republican causes, like Peter Thiel, as an example. He's one of the few guys in Silicon Valley who's a Republican and gives money to that. So there's nothing inherently wrong about giving your money to political campaigns. The key word is your money. It's got to be yours. You can't just steal other people's and give it away. But that's what FTX was doing. So let's talk about this. At its peak, FTX, a cryptocurrency trading platform, which means you can go there and you can buy crypto from them, and then you can take it and put it in your hardware wallet, or you can be a dumb and leave it in their exchange and just let it sit in your account. It's not a bank account. It's not your bank account. Even if it's in your bank account is owned by the bank, but it's got sort of the similar philosophy behind it. It's like, it might feel like it's your money in your bank account, but as soon as you start putting it in there, bad things happen. So it became the third largest crypto exchange. It's based in Nassau, Bahamas. It was only started in 2019. Which is interesting, because it was only started just a couple days after Joe Biden announced he was running for president. That sounds like a coincidence when you hear it right now, but wait till the end of this episode, and then you tell me whether or not you think this is a coincidence or not. The company was worth, how you determine worth is venture capital firms say, we're going to give you $500 million for a 10% stake in your company. And you go, okay, it's valued at $5 billion. That's the valuation process. Now, it doesn't mean that you have $5 billion. It doesn't mean that you're actually worth $5 billion. You may be worth more. The venture capital companies may be undervaluing you in order to get in and get a bigger chunk of your company. And it depends on what level or what round of financing you're in. To determine who gets a better deal. People that come in early, seed funding, they maybe get a bigger chunk. Obviously, the valuations are much lower. That's how, speaking of Peter Thiel, that's how you get a 10% stake in Facebook for $500,000 is your Peter Thiel, and you come in at that seed round. So the venture capital companies were involved in this. They enabled, they helped it fuel his growth. He kept going back to the table asking for more money, and they kept giving it to him round after round after round. Now, at his peak, Sam Bankman-Fried, aka we'll refer to him as SBF from time to time, he had a net worth of around $16 billion. $16 billion for a 30-year-old who, if you've watched him speak or you've watched him on Chuck Todd's Meet the Press show where he was shaking like a tweaking crystal meth addict, he's a very unimpressive guy, in my opinion. He looks, and I don't mean this to sound I don't mean this disrespectfully to anybody else who maybe has these issues, but he sounds and looks and acts like he's on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum. High functioning for sure. He's got a little, Asperger's to him, you know. Socially retarded, very dopey, very doughy, very soft, very weak, very feminized. He's a vegan. He looks gray. His hair is unkempt. He looks like a big slob. But in this world, in this crypto world, that can be an asset. You look like you're so concerned with the project that you can't be bothered to brush your hair. And then people take that and they go, look at this guy over here. You know, normally you'd go, look at this guy. Keep an eye on him. He looks like he's about to steal a Slurpee out of the machine. You know what I mean? Like, keep an eye on this sketchy character. But if you're a venture capitalist or you're somebody that's in the crypto space, you can convince yourself that this is a sign of high functioning intelligence. Like, this guy is off the charts. He's so smart. He has no need for a mirror to look at himself. He's so such a genius. He's just difficult. You know, he doesn't play by the rest of society's rules. He'll show up on a stage with Tony Blair and Bill Clinton wearing flip-flops and shorts and a white t-shirt. You know, he doesn't give a shit. He's just all about crypto, and isn't that cute? Well, it's not cute, and you've been had. If you fell for that routine, then you've been had. But let's talk about the timeline on this, because there were some actions that happened. It wasn't like, for those that are wondering, like, how did this whole thing collapse? I'll explain how it collapsed. I will explain in general terms how it collapsed. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but so there's a guy named goes by the name CZ. He runs Binance and Changpeng Zhao, I think. And Binance is the number one crypto trading platform by five times bigger than FTX. FTX was three. There's one in between them. And so there was this sort of rivalry between CZ and SBF. I feel like I'm talking in code. But they didn't really care for one another. So CZ at Binance starts selling all of their holdings of this coin called FTT, which is FTX's native coin. It's a coin that is produced by FTX and used as a placeholder in exchange for actual dollars. It's just, you know, this is why I say I'm not going to get into the details of it all. There's nothing abnormal about that. Some of these places, it's real easy to create your own cryptocurrency too, but you have to have a reason for it. Some of them are what's known as utility tokens, and that's what this one was. It's not meant to go up or down necessarily. It's meant to serve as a function, a server utility in this role. And so it exists, and each of these trading platforms probably owns each other's, a small portion of each other's native coin. So in this particular case, Binance, the big guy, did own some FTT tokens, which are the native coins for FTX, and they sold all of them. They sold all of them and then announced that they were selling all of them because of concerns about an article that came out on November 2nd from CoinDesk that was talking about FTX, this platform, and their sister company, Alameda, commingling funds. CoinDesk wrote an article about this, and the head of Binance said, I read that article, I got a bad feeling about it, so I sold all our stuff, all of the stuff that we had of theirs, all of our holdings of FTX, and made this announcement. Now, you don't make that announcement for nothing, okay? Because it's nobody's business, maybe necessarily. No doubt he sold all his coins before he made that announcement. He's not dumb. And that started a run. Everyone said, what does this guy know that we don't know? He's selling all these FTT tokens. Maybe we should too. So everyone starts selling theirs. And there's just not enough money to handle this. This is a bank run. It's essentially a bank run. Now, before everyone says, that's crypto for you, it's so scammy, you know, you have one of these bank runs and the whole fucking company comes down. Yes, correct. But just so you know, this exact same thing can happen on a Thursday in America at the normal banks too. If everybody decides that they want to get it, they need to get their money out of the banks right now, the banks don't have it. It's called fractional reserve lending. It's how they built the banking industry, meaning for every $1 on deposit, they can loan out $9 that they don't have on deposit. They just know, based on being a bank, based on 100 years of behavior, watching people's behavior, they know that there's not a day where everybody comes and says, I want all my money out all at once. Because if they did, they clearly wouldn't have enough money to keep that going. So they cap it. There's an amount. But banks are over-leveraged, much like FTX was over-leveraged in this. And you can have a bank run, and it doesn't need... you can have that in traditional banking, just like you can have it in crypto. So what we're talking about is a crypto bank run. And it is not limited to the crypto industry, but for the purposes of this episode, that's how we're gonna talk about it. So what happened is it freaked out the market and everyone started selling, and FTX found themselves in a liquidity crisis, which is we have not enough money. When these people come to cash in their tokens and want actual US dollars in exchange for it, there's just not enough money. We just don't have enough money to handle that. Maybe a couple of you guys, maybe like a small little run we can do. All the CZs, he didn't have any problems cashing out his stuff. You know, they sold him. He was able to get his money out. But then when you make the announcement to the general public and it starts like a stampede, at some point they throw their hands up and they go, we just don't have it. We don't have the money. So FTX makes a call to Binance. They call SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, calls CZ and says, hey man, I know we don't like each other, but we're insolvent right now and we could really use your help. So if you want to buy our company, it's for sale right now. Like, if you don't, this is going to be real bad for everybody. Like, obviously we're going to go down, but we're going to take a bunch of people with us. So if you want to preserve the crypto industry, you know, I'm going to make you this offer real quick now. And Binance said, we'll put a non-binding letter together to buy FTX. Okay. And they went, great. That would be real helpful if you guys bought us. Now, normally, you don't really want to sell to your competitors, but your competitor isn't going to go dig up the backyard and look for all the bodies the way the American government will, and the way all your investors will when you fuck them. And that's exactly what's happening. Because, see, Binance, during this non-binding agreement, took a look under the hood of this car, and they realized there's no engine. This car doesn't run. We're not buying this piece of shit. You can have it. Sorry, we're out. And then it went into bankruptcy. Because what Binance saw was that the emperor has no clothes. They went, you don't have, not only do you not have the money, you guys don't even have the fucking deposits that your customers put in. You have spent their deposit money. Oh, this isn't just, we're going to go out of business. This is, you guys are all going to prison for this. Yes, if there's any justice. And that's a big if. We will get into this. So they announced that they are filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which is reorganization, not liquidation. Everything was frozen. Okay. They immediately, SBF has to step down as CEO, but not before, and they freeze everything is frozen. No withdrawals or any kind are allowed. But then later that night, $600 million gets drained from FTX and FTX.us wallets via hackers. But everyone suspects that SBF built a backdoor into this and that that's where the money really went. We'll find out. We'll find out for sure. He didn't need to. We're going to get into that too. We're going to get into the money he's got, where he's got it. We'll figure out where he's got it. But somebody stole $600 million. And apparently, it wasn't that hard to do. So what we have is the balance sheet at FTX on November 10th showed $9 billion in liabilities, meaning the money you owe, and $900 million in assets. That is 10 to 1 and not in the right direction. With an account internally labeled, quote, at fiat, that's the name of the account that they had. It was labeled at fiat. And in that at fiat account, it had a balance of negative $8 billion. And of that, those assets, that $900 million in assets, half of that is accounted for by Sam Bankman-Fried's ownership of $460 million of Robinhood shares. Remember Robinhood? Remember Robinhood, that trading app that got its ass handed to it during the GameStop fiasco, where it then locked out everybody and then allowed all of the Wall Street head honchos to make their move before they allowed their own customers to have access and trade and sell their stuff. They allowed the other guys to get out first before they allowed their customers. Remember those fucking assholes who most definitely are going to go to prison as well? Well, the only real assets that FTX had was they had $460 million of Robinhood shares, which may or may not be worthless at some point in the future. Quote, a substantial portion of assets held with FTX may be missing or stolen. Estimates are that over $2 billion has been stolen from the company. But see, when you have an event like this, be the, you know, a collapse, be it Lehman Brothers or FTX, it starts a contagion effect because they all have interlocking interest in one another. So like I said, you know, Binance has these FTT tokens that they spent money on. They have a financial stake in FTX to the extent they own assets that are created by them, and they own them and they need to get money for them. And if those assets go to zero, then they're holding, they're what they're holding is zero. And so all of these exchanges are feeling the, you know, they're feeling the loss. It just depends on how much exposure they had to it. So obviously everyone's a little bit different. Some of them had a ton of exposure to FTX and they're done. As an example, a company called BlockFi. BlockFi has frozen withdrawals and as of the recording of this is preparing for bankruptcy due to FTX exposure. BlockFi is huge. This isn't like BlockFi from Lincoln, Nebraska or someplace. There's an international company. Anyway, so they're fucked. The contagion. So let me explain. Because I said it was sort of like a banking run. To put this in perspective, when we're talking about $1 billion. We're talking about negative $8 billion in one account. And we're talking about this company being worth $32 billion at one account. And then every crypto trading platform sort of is interconnected in the sense that they own a little bit of each other. They have bets with each other. They have derivative trades with each other. You know, they have the same thing that central banking has. And these numbers are big for you and me, but I want to put them in perspective. When we're talking about the derivative trades that these crypto companies have, and there's a FTX had their own spinoff company called FTX Derivatives. So they have their own division that does derivative trading. The derivative bubbles is what's going to take the economy down. It's going to take the banking system down. When one bank fails, derivatives are like bets on bets. It's like if you bet the Cowboys against the Patriots. I was going to say in the Super Bowl, but the Cowboys are never getting to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Dallas fans. It's just not happening. But let's just say these two, you can bet on that game. But then inside the game, you can have other bets going with your buddies, right? I bet that this guy's going to, I bet the first team that's going to have a fumble will be this. I bet, I'll take that bet. Well, I'll bet on your bet. And that's what derivatives are. It's never in, it's bets on top of bets on top of bets. And when you've got 10 guys in the room and they're all betting on one another and they've all got their money exchanged and one of the guys goes bankrupt, then all the bets that you have that you would have might have won against this guy, you're not going to get paid on either. So you've got a loss now. He loses, he's out of money, and you are going to win a bunch of bets against him and get paid, but he's got no money anymore. So now all your wins are actually losses. That's the contagion. That's what pulls everybody down. So just to put this in perspective, like I said, we're talking about millions and billions and things like that. The derivatives trading that is happening right now in the traditional banking market, the normal banks, the investment banks, the banks that we, Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and all these groups, the amount of derivatives trading bets that they have is 2,500 trillion dollars. So fuck FTX with their $32 billion of market cap. We're talking about the actual banking system. You think crypto is a house of cards. This is my point. The traditional banking system is an apartment complex of cards. $2,500 trillion of derivative bets are happening all over. If one of those guys goes down, in my scenario, they all go down. And it's a huge problem. So let's get into this. Let's talk about the main players in this. This is just going to be such an interesting movie when it comes out with Seth Rogen. You just know. Okay, so Sam Bank, Bankman Fraud, MIT graduate, 30 years old, started FTX a few days after Biden announced he was running, devoted to giving as much money as he can, not his own money, but other people's money, to the Democratic Party. He was the second leading fund donator behind George fucking Soros. They have similar philosophies, I assure you. A little different in the color revolution, but SBF, I promise you, I'll get to it. Sketchy dude who wanted all the wrong things for us. Number two, Gary Wang. And nobody really even knows if this dude exists. There's like, His profile picture is a picture of the back of his head sitting at a computer. I don't know, man. I'm sure he's real. When they break down these investment silos, the bankruptcy judge, he put these or not bankruptcy judge, but the bankruptcy CEO that's been installed to replace SBF. He assigned these percentages to who owns what. And this Gary Wang guy owned, like, they had four different silos of businesses that FTX was overseeing. And he owned like maybe 10% of this part and 16% of the other part and like none of one. And so he owns at least 10% of just about everything. Then we've got Nishad Singh. He also owns a piece of the four different silos. He was the director of engineering and a former Facebook engineer. And we know about that revolving door of Facebook people from the Obama White House into Facebook and back into the Biden White House now. There's a well-worn path between the front door of Facebook and the front door of the White House. And this Nishad Singh guy came over. He was a low-level engineer at Facebook, but he became the director of engineering at FTX. And these are the three people that controlled the code. They're the three people that would know how this all worked, where the money was really going, and how the code was set up to hide that. And that's part of the problem, was that they created code that masked what they were actually doing with the money, so that it wouldn't trigger external alarm bells at the SEC. So then we've got the fourth member of this band of tards, and that is Caroline Ellison. Have you seen her? She's pretty fucking homely, wouldn't you say? Now, look, normally I wouldn't shit on somebody's looks, but the things that this... Well, yeah, I would. But the things that this meth goblin has said about the average people out there is pretty disgusting. So I'm not going to be nice to her because she doesn't deserve it. I'm going to call her out for being the Harry Potter wannabe that she clearly is. An Adderall addict known into polyamory, which means weird group relationships. She was described by some dude on Twitter as a tour de force of female autism. God, I'm just jealous. I didn't think of that one myself. Holy shit. Whoever you are that I borrowed that from, go buy yourself a beer. That was fantastic. She was the CEO of Alameda Research. Alameda Research is the sister company of FTX. So now I'm going to get into sort of the structure. And my God, when I was drawing this whole thing out, I needed a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia bulletin board with pictures and strings and all of that stuff, because there's a lot of connections. And I think the bankruptcy people are going to have fun digging into this. So here's the big problem. You've got FTX, which is this crypto trading platform, which by all accounts should make money on transaction fees. I go to FTX, I want to buy $5,000 of Bitcoin. When I buy $5,000 of Bitcoin, for them being the marketplace, they take a very small fee. They take a point. They're upfront about the fee. There's nothing inherently wrong about that. This is how it works. You pay a small fee. It's the marketplace fee. And that theoretically is how FTX should make a bunch of money. Now, what they did was they set up a secondary company called Alameda Research. And Alameda Research was using money that FTX sent over to them to make trades and to do things such as yield farming, which is unnecessary for the purposes of this episode. But you make money by loaning crypto out to people. It's a scam. At its core, that's really where the Ponzi part of this is. And I don't want to get into the weeds of it all. But basically, they're making bad, really heavily leveraged trades all day long, which is fine if you're a Wall Street expert and you understand and you've got like a hardcore computer program and you can kind of understand where things move and you can make a fortune doing that. High frequency trading with AI algorithms and shit like that, front running trades. I mean, there's a million ways to be scammy and make money doing that. Just look at Wall Street. They've been doing that a long time. But the problem is when you're all hopped up on Adderall, fucking each other at this $40 million penthouse in the Bahamas where they're all working out of, where 10 of them were living, you wind up becoming like the Crypto Manson family. And that's what these people were. They were into all kinds of crazy shit. There's an ideological component to them as well, the way they see the world. They were very shitty to the peons underneath them. They have no respect for you at all. They think you're stupid. They think you're gullible. They think they're smarter than you. They think that you gave them your money to play with. They think you gave it to them. But what wound up happening was that FTX and Sam sent $10 billion over to Alameda and Caroline, his girlfriend, the meth goblin. And Caroline blew it all on shitty trades. But not before Alameda issued personal loans to a couple people. This is where the problem is. They sent So $10 billion goes from FTX, $10 billion of customers' deposit money went to FTX, okay? Went from FTX to Alameda. Then Alameda took that from that $10 billion. They then gave loans to Sam Bankman-Fried, $1 billion. They gave $543 million to Singh. They gave $55 million to a guy named Ryan Salami, who was running, he was co-CEO of FTX Digital Markets. And they sent $2.3 billion to a company that SBF controlled called Paperbird. That's what people are looking for. Where's the money? Here's 2.3 going to Sam, a company he controls. Here's another billion going to Sam, half a bill going to Singh, $55 million going to this Ryan Salami guy. That's why I said that Sam didn't need to build a backdoor into the crypto wallets. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he didn't need to because he has access to $3.3 billion, or at least he did. So what did these people do with this money? Oh, well, let me tell you. I'll tell you exactly what they did. There is one guy who gave money to the Republican Party out of all this Ryan Salami guy. He got a $55 million loan. This is how you know this whole thing is scammy and weird. He got a $55 million loan and then gave $23.9 million to the Republican Party. Hey, if somebody gave me $55 million, you know how much the Republican Party would be getting from me? 55 cents. They certainly wouldn't be getting $23.9 million. They wouldn't be getting half of my money, but they did. And that's the only money that went to the Republicans. The rest, Singh gave $7.3 million to the Democrats. SBF gave $38 million to the Democrats. And like I said, he became one of the highest donating guys, second only to George Soros. He also took some of this $1 billion and made a $7 million bet against Donald Trump winning the 2024 elections. I mean, I'm guessing the bet was with Peter Thiel. I mean, I don't know who else takes that bet. What are the odds? What kind of odds do you get? Can you do that at Caesar's Palace? Can we bet on this shit? So the real question is what's this $2.3 billion? Where'd it go? What's Paperbird? What are they doing with it? What are you into? So the question is, what are you into? What are you into, Sam? What's your thing? Clearly you like the Democrats, but that in and of itself isn't overly concerning. It's idiotic way to spend your money. But a lot of people give money to political parties. That's not what I'm concerned about. What I am concerned about is what was being done with that money specifically. Because it wasn't just thrown out like out of a helicopter. It was given to a very specific group that had an idea of how they wanted it spent. So from this $38 million, he gave $27 million to a group that he started. It was his own firm called Protect Our Future PAC, Political Action Committee. And with this $27 million that he gave to Protect Our Future, Protect Our Future then gave that money out to organizations as well. And the group that Protect Our Future PAC gave their money to is a group called Guarding Against Pandemics. And Guarding Against Pandemics is run by Gabe Bankman-Fried, his brother. So the question is, first of all, who's his brother? Well, his brother used to work for a company called Civis Analytics, which is a Democrat data firm that was started by Eric Schmidt of Google, Eric Schmidt of the running the artificial intelligence for the Pentagon. Yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried, his brother used to work for Eric Schmidt. His brother then goes and starts his own PAC called Guarding Against Pandemics and takes SBF's money into his PAC. So it goes from FTX to Alameda Research, the $10 billion in customer money. Then $1 billion of that $10 billion gets loaned to Sam. Sam then takes $38 million and goes and spends it on the Democrats, $27 million of the $38 million he gives to his own PAC, and then his own PAC spends it by giving it to his brother's PAC. And what does his brother's PAC want? Well, they want to finance only candidates that are pro-lockdown and pro-mandate, vaccine mandate. Only people that want to lock you down and make it mandatory for you to get vaccinated. Those are the only people that got money from the brothers, the Bankman-Fried brothers. But it gets worse than this, because Gabe Bankman-Fried, the brother who runs Guardian Against Pandemics, they're into something else besides just financing candidates that want to lock you down and inject you with experimental gene therapy. They're into something else that's very similar. They're deeply involved with genes, genetics, and the Genome Project. Remember who else was deeply involved in that stuff? Jeffrey Epstein. Remember what he was doing in New Mexico? Deeply involved. Remember the scientists he was inviting for fun with physics? Genome guys. What was the Moderna shot? It was gene therapy. What's Wellcome Trust in charge of? You know, we did an episode on Wellcome Trust. What's Wellcome Trust involved in? The Genome Project. What's Wellcome Trust roots? British Eugenics Society. These guys are involved in depopulation. On top of all this, that's why I say it's dirty. And guess what? Sam Bankman-Fried announced that he wanted to spend $1 billion on the 2024 election. He only spent $38 million on this midterm. Of course, the company, that the fraud and everything was discovered after the midterm elections, of course. But they intended to keep this racket going for a while. If crypto hadn't crashed so much, if CZ hadn't started a bank run on them, this operation would have been going for a while. And the money would have been there. And the money would have gone to his brother. And his brother's PAC would have been financing genome therapy and genome projects. Just like Wellcome Trust. Just like the World Economic Forum. So again, this should go without saying, but the World Economic Forum's crypto partner was FTX. Is it making sense now? Is this starting to connect dots? That's why I was telling Tony Merkel about that. This is the deepest rabbit hole. You have no idea. You think this is a crypto bank run gone bad, or some sketchy perverts fucking each other in some penthouse in the Bahamas? Well, that's only the part that will wind up in the television series or made for TV movie of this that comes out. It goes so much deeper than this. He also spent his money when he wasn't giving it to his brother, who was investing it in pro-lockdown and pro-mandate candidates and dabbling in genome manipulation. He also gave it to a group called Every Town for Gun Safety PAC. You know what Every Town for Gun Safety PAC is set on doing? Disarming the population. So let's review what Sam Bankman-Fried's intentions were with this money. He borrowed $1 billion from Alameda Research. That money came from the general public that had willingly put their money in FTX. He took their money and spent it. First of all, he made a $7 bet or $7 million bet that Trump would lose. He then spent it on candidates that want to take your guns away from you so that you can't protect them. He sent it to candidates that want to lock you in your house. He sent it to candidates that want to mandate an experimental gene therapy be injected into you. He gave it to a group that spends money developing and working with companies that are involved in genes, genetics, and the Genome Project. And the guy he gave it to is close friends, used to work with Eric Schmidt, Google's former CEO, the head of artificial intelligence for the fucking Pentagon. And there's more. Okay. There's more to this. Now let's talk about Ukraine. Okay. Now let's talk about the democratic washing machine that is the Ukraine war. Well, the Ukrainian war, which is, talk about a made-for-TV event. This has been going on now for the better part of 2022, almost the whole year. And they needed a crypto component to accept donations from people. Anyone that wanted to donate to this war, you know, standing with Ukraine and all, you know, doing the thing. If you wanted to donate crypto, they needed a place, a central place for everyone to donate to. So Zelensky partnered with FTX for this. So when you wanted to give crypto to the Ukrainian front, the Ukrainian fight, let's say, you would donate it through FTX. What was happening, though, or what we speculate was happening, was that a lot of that money that Joe Biden and the Democrats were sending to Ukraine, you know, every other week there's a new thing, you know, $6 billion voted on and approved to be sent to Ukraine, $900 million more going to Ukraine, $14 billion more going to Ukraine. I mean, it's every 2 weeks there's a new amount of money that's being sent to Ukraine. This is the question that everyone wants to know. That money goes from the United States, taxpayers, of course, to Ukraine. Where does it go from there? How much of that gets turned into crypto? Because if it gets turned into crypto, FTX is going to make a transaction fee on that, right? FTX is going to be in charge of who knows how much money goes in there and where it goes. So if you've got the guy running FTX, being the second largest contributor to the Democratic Party, second only to George Soros, and you're going to send billions of dollars to Ukraine, and the guy who's in charge of the crypto component of it is tied to you, is a World Economic Forum guy, how much of that money is getting laundered through crypto and get put right back into the pockets of the Democrats? We don't know. We don't know yet. That's why I said this episode is going to take years. It's going to take years to unpack all this. We just don't know what we don't know right now. We just, there's so much at stake. There's so much happening. It's hard to know. But eventually, they'll figure it out. Eventually, somebody will see how much, you know, wound up in an FTX account, where that went. Now, whether the media actually reports on it, I think don't hold your breath. Because the problem is it's going to expose a lot of money laundering. And Ukraine's a laundromat anyway. We know that. But now you've got a crypto component, brand new washing machine. They just brought this in. They just wheeled this new thing in. It's the FTX 3000. Take all your dirty money and make it clean again. And then we can move it all over the fucking place, change it into 8,000 different crypto coins, run it through the market, pull it out the back end, washed, convert it to Bitcoin, convert it to cash, and donate it to your account. No wonder $1 billion is going into the Democratic Party in 2024. He was going to have all the money in the world he needed for it. He wasn't going to put his own money into this. I doubt it. But he has no problem taking money that was earmarked to help Ukraine and launder it back into the Democratic Party. Allegedly, of course, allegedly. We'll find out. We'll find out. But let's take a look at who this guy's family is, shall we? I mean, I think it's reasonable to dig in and see. Well, we already have discovered and acknowledged that his brother's no good. Well, what about his parents? Barbara Fried runs Mind the Gap, an organization that moves money for the Democratic Party. What a surprise. Joseph Bankman, his father, Stanford law professor, working with Democratic senators on tax legislation, specifically crypto. This is the old, please don't throw me in the briar patch line from FTX. Please don't regulate me. Please, please don't regulate our company exactly the way we want it regulated so that it doesn't really impact us, but keeps all of our competitors out. Please, whatever you do, don't regulate us. Wink, wink. Caroline Ellison, meth goblin, Harry Potter wizard, wannabe. Caroline Ellison's dad was Gary Gensler's boss. Who's Gary Gensler? Nobody. He's just the head of the Security and Exchange Commission currently. You know, the group that's looking to regulate crypto. SBF's weird autistic girlfriend. Her dad was Gary Gensler's boss when they were teaching at MIT. And Gary Gensler, you know, in case you're wondering, is he, you know, he works in government. He works in government under the Biden administration. But is he actually a Democrat or is he just an appointee? He was Hillary Clinton's campaign CFO. Does that work? Are we getting it now? Who Gary Gensler is? And well, since we're talking about all this stuff, I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of the darker angle to this. And I want to be clear that I'm speculating right now, but I'm not making this up. I'm just speculating about how close to this are we. The FBI released years ago a list of logos that showed pedophile connected logos and what they mean. This symbol here stands for little boy lover. This logo right here is code for little girl lover. This code, you know, there's codes. There's logos. They're very specific, general enough that you might not connect the dots, but once you look at the list, and then you go and look at other logos, you go, oh shit, man. Like, I don't know if you knew it or not, but your logo is real close to that of a known pedophile logo for things, you know? I mean, and I'm sure some people, some graphic designers designed some poor bastard's logo and may accidentally, you know, made it look like, you know, something like one of these triangles inside a triangle type of thing. And probably thought he was doing a great job for some dude who's running a company like Triangle Capital or something. I don't know. I'm just making this up, but probably made him this great logo. And then someone is like, dude, you know that that's close to like the FBI list or anything? So maybe, just maybe, this is all a huge coincidence, but the Alameda Research logo is the same logo as known pedophile logo. And the shirt that SBF wears in all his promo stuff, that's a logo that's similar to a known pedophile logo as well. So again, like I said, I'm speculating, and I want to be clear, and everybody is innocent until proven guilty, and I hope that this is a dead end. I hope there's nothing to this. But I've got Hillary Clinton connections all over this guy. We've got World Economic Forum connections to this guy. So I'm not going to say pedophilia is out of the equation yet. I'm going to need to be shown that it is out of the equation because everything's on the table for this. And when I see these symbols and I see these nods and I see the same players, I get a bad feeling about this. And if I were to find out that in the future this rabbit hole went all the way down to human trafficking out of Ukraine that involved kids, I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised. But again, I'm speculating. Let's go on. Let's move on to the bankruptcy findings. God, this is they brought a guy named John Ray in to be the CEO, and John Ray is a guy that is, I'll put it to you this way. When John Ray is your CEO, you have committed a huge amount of fraud, which is the reason why this guy's being brought in. This guy oversaw the Enron unwinding, okay? This is the guy you bring in to clean up the mess that these criminals started. So what is the mess, okay? I'm going to read some quotes from this. Unacceptable management practices included the use of an unsecured group email account as the root user to access confidential private keys and critically sensitive data. Private keys is what will get you access to a crypto wallet. You want to have tight control of private keys. Ideally, they're private. So this is saying that the unsecured group email account as the root user to access confidential private keys and critically sensitive data, the use of software to conceal the misuse of customer funds, the secret exemption of Alameda from certain aspects of FTX.com's auto liquidation protocol. Remember I told you that the three guys controlled the code? SBF, Gary Wang, and Nishad Singh? Well, these guys made the code so that certain components of what Alameda Research was doing didn't show up. They set it to hide it. They created the code to make it so that you couldn't follow what was actually happening here. This company was so poorly run that this John Ray guy said the following, and it's a bit, but I'm going to read the whole thing because it's worth reading. This is what he said. Keep in mind, he oversaw the unwinding of Enron, and Enron was a catastrophe, people went to prison for 25 years. Jeff Skilling got a 25-year sentence. Ken Lade had a heart attack, or maybe they moved him to the secret Epstein Island somewhere or wherever. But this was a big deal. And this is what this guy who oversaw Enron has to say about FTX. Quote, I have over 40 years of legal and restructuring experience. I have been the chief restructuring officer or CEO in several of the largest corporate failures in history. I have supervised situations involving allegations of criminal activity and malfeasance. Enron, he put in quotes, I have supervised situations involving novel financial structures and cross-border asset recovery and maximization. He put Nortel in that was a telephone company. Nearly every situation in which I have been involved has been characterized by defects of some sort in internal controls, regulatory compliance, human resources, and systems integrity. Here's the good part. Never in my career have I seen such a complete failure of corporate controls and such a complete absence of trustworthy financial information as occurred here. From compromised systems integrity and faulty regulatory oversight abroad to the concentration of control in the hands of a very small group of inexperienced, unsophisticated, and potentially compromised individuals. This situation is unprecedented. That's what I'm talking about. When they start talking about compromised individuals, ding, 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 ding. I mean, the alarm bells start going off. I ask you, was SBF placed here? Was he compromised and put in this position to be the disposable guy that can get the cutout, who gets cut out by these maniacs, propped up, and then takes the blame for it all? He was a criminal. He's a straight criminal. Don't get me wrong. But my question is, who does he work for? Who does Sam work for? They go on to this John Ray guy. He goes on to say, cash management procedural failures included the absence of an accurate list of bank accounts and account signatories, as well as insufficient attention to the creditworthiness of banking partners around the world. So he's talking about account signatories and things like that, meaning like there's just no checks and balances. Nobody has to sign out anything. There's a process. As a real estate broker myself, there's a process when you take somebody's earnest money check. You know, it has to be in a certain accounting form. It has to go into your
safe immediately that night. It cannot be. There's a lot of restrictions for this stuff, rightly so. You're dealing with other people's money and they're giving it to you, trusting that you will take care of it. So there have to be rules in place. At FTX, employee payment requests, like disbursement requests or like reimbursements and things like that, employee payment requests were handled through an online chat function where supervisors approved disbursements by responding with personalized emojis. When this guy described Caroline Ellison as a tour de force of female autism, it wasn't just her. They were the bookkeeping and everyone running it was dealing with some form of autism too. Hey man, I need that $4,000 expense check cut to me. And they send you back, you know, you do it in the little chat function. And the guy sends you back an emoji of a fucking unicorn or something. And you're like, I guess that means I'm getting my money. This is what he's talking about when he says unsophisticated. Unsophisticated? Holy shit. Yeah. So no audited financial statements for Alameda. They didn't, the sister company that took, that FTX sent $10 billion. They sent $10,000 million to, doesn't have an accounting system. There's no audited financial statements for them. They put everything in one account. My real estate broker brain is just going crazy right now. We have to have a separate trust account. You have a business account, and then you have to have a separate bank account that has the word trust account, you know, my company, whatever, trust account, you know. And that is very specific. It's only for this. You have to submit all of your financial documents to the real estate division after. Like, I get the third degree for that stuff on mine. They managed $10 billion, didn't do a financial, they didn't do an audited financial statement, meaning they didn't have a professional come in and audit it. They just said, you know, we got a lot of money in there. How much?
A lot.
And, well, they didn't have financial statements for two of the four silos. This is so what this guy John Ray did is he came in with his team and he took a look at FTX and all of it. And there's like 100 and something companies underneath them. Big headache. And he said, I'm going to put it in four different groups. The four, and we're going to call them silos, right? So the first one was West Realm Shire, WRS, West Realm Shire. That is made up of FTX US, FTX Derivatives, FTX Gaming, FTX NFTs, and the BlockFi loan. They loaned $400 million to BlockFi because BlockFi needed it. BlockFi is going out of business. Then you've got a second silo called Alameda. And in Alameda, they have treasuries, crypto ETFs, which is yield farming. They have cash, and it was basically a crypto hedge fund. Then the third silo is called Ventures. This involves the money that they borrowed money from Sequoia Capital and then they invested money in Sequoia Capital. It's all a bunch of financial horseshit, if you ask me. But in this venture silo, you've got Sequoia Capital, which for those of you that don't know, I did an episode about a year ago called The Creature from Sand Hill Road, which talks about the venture capital firms that are, you know, in Palo Alto and Menlo Park and Bay Area, Silicon Valley. So you've got in the ventures, you've got Sequoia Capital, you've got a company called K5, you've got Mistin Labs, and another company called Anthropic. Then the fourth silo is called .com. That is FTX.com, that is real estate, that is cash, and that is crypto. You're going to find this hard to believe, even if you've never worked for like a big company, even if you just work for a relatively small company. But the Human Resources Department at FTX didn't have a complete list of who worked for the company. I know that sounds impossible. You're talking about human resources. Their job is to manage, I don't know, the human people, the resources, and know who all's there and know what's going on and know who's filled out this form and who's, and what, you know, you want a direct deposit or do you want us to mail you a check for, you know, each month? Like, the Human Resources Department of FTX didn't have a complete list of who worked there. That's what this John Ray guy is. That's why he's coming in and saying, in 40 years, I've never seen anything quite like this. What he wants to say is, they didn't have a fucking clue who even worked there. You have an HR department that doesn't know who works at your company? What are you guys doing? Are you in the gangbangs up in the penthouse? I mean, I fucking hope so. Here's another bit. I'll read this in full. Debtors have secured in new cold wallets approximately $740 million in crypto that is attributable to either the WRS, Alameda, or .com silos. So they found $740 million. Debtors have engaged forensic analysts, to identify assets on the blockchain, cybersecurity experts to identify parties responsible for the unauthorized transaction on or after the petition date, and investigators to begin the process of identifying what may be very substantial transfers of debtors' property in the days, weeks, and months prior to the petition date. So what this bankruptcy filing is saying is that we've got forensic analysts that are looking at the blockchain, which is a permanent record of transactions, going back, looking through the blockchain to see what FTX is up to. While we're doing that, we also have cybersecurity experts that are looking into who moved money and where. And when, you know, if you're moving money, if you're like, oh shit, this thing is coming down, I need to get this stuff out of this wallet and into another wallet, and then I need to get that wallet, hide it somewhere, they're coming for you. And then they have criminal investigators looking to see where the money went. This is from John Ray, the guy that was brought in to examine all of this. And he's only been looking at this for about a week. What he announced was that FTX had no records of any bank accounts, cash accounts, signatories, employee information, payables. They had no receivables. They had no records of their investments. They had no records of any decision making. There was never a board of directors meeting held. They used auto deleting chats, like text messages that evaporate, like Snapchat type, you know, messages that disappear. And there was no record of any internal communications. It was officially the worst run company in the world. And there's more. There's always more. Leaked Twitter direct message conversations between an interviewer and Sam Bankman-Fried. The person said, you said a lot of stuff about how you wanted to make regulations, just good ones. Was that pretty much just PR too? Yeah, Sam's response. Yeah, just PR. Fuck regulators. They make everything worse. The person asked it. So the ethics stuff, mostly a front? Sam's response. Yeah. All that stuff that you said about saving the world and doing all this stuff, that's just a front, right? Yeah. We're dealing with an onion. It's getting peeled apart. But don't worry, everybody. The cover-up squad is in charge. SDNY. Southern District Court of New York is investigating. They're the group that always investigates Wall Street. They're the cover-up team. This is like when there's a mass shooting and the FBI rolls up and I go, well, here comes the cover-up squad to get involved and make sure nobody goes to prison or the wrong guy goes to prison and all the actual perpetrators go free. That's the same thing. When you see the SDNY is involved in a financial crimes case, then you know that's the cover-up squad. So I am not convinced that this guy and any of these people are actually going to go to prison. They should go to prison forever. I mean, they rightly are looking at a million years in prison. I'm not even kidding. They said that they're going to roll up a class action lawsuit with the all of the individual depositors that had money in there. And they say that the number of individual depositors, it's over a million. So when I say they're going to, you know, they could be looking at it like a million years in jail. I don't know what the, I don't know how much the count is for each charge of wire fraud. But when you took somebody's money and moved it across wires like that and stole it, that's wire fraud. I don't know, 5 years per count? You got a million people suing you? 5 million years? I don't know. A bajillion years? Maybe we could do some crypto math. You get a year for every dollar you stole, Sam. How about that? But that's just wishful thinking, really. Because I don't think these guys are going to go. They have too many powerful people. But that, then back to that class action lawsuit. They're not just suing, you know, the people aren't just suing SBF and FTX, the company itself. They're not just suing them. They're also suing all the celebrities that were pushing this as well. Tom Brady and Giselle are getting sued. Naomi Osaka, tennis crybaby. Golden State Warriors are getting sued. Shaq, Steph Curry, Larry David, Udonis Haslam. They have to rename the Miami Heat Stadium. But let me explain to you, when I say that I don't think he's going to prison for this, I know it sounds cynical, but here's why I believe this. Here's why I am being cynical about it. Because just yesterday, the New York Times and Accenture, which is one of the largest consulting companies in the world, or accounting companies, announced a live event in a couple of weeks. $2,400 a ticket for this event that the New York Times and Accenture is putting on. And at this event, you will get to hear the thoughts of these powerhouse leaders that are going to come and tell you what's most important in the world right now. These leaders of this summit include Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, Benjamin Netanyahu, Zionist scumbag terrorist, now new prime minister, newly renewed prime minister of Israel. Vladimir fucking Zelensky himself will be there. And Sam Bankman-Fried. It's Team Zionism, if you were keeping score at home. FTX openly voiced its support of government imposed block lists, not blacklists, block lists, crypto term, of sanctioned crypto addresses so that they could get favorable regulations for themselves. They wanted regulations for thee and not for me. They want regulations on their terms. FTX did. That's why they're funneling a lot of money to Dems. They're also ideologically aligned with it. That's why they're working with the World Economic Forum. There's going to be crypto regulation. FTX just wants to be the one proposing it so that they can make sure that the Gary Ginslers of the world that are connected to them put proposals in place that benefit them. Remember when I said that these guys individually were out there giving money to all these campaign funds that were pushing lockdowns and mandates and everything? Well, FTX, the company, donated $18.2 million to the early COVID researchers who were casting doubt on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So the group that was suppressing HCQ and ivermectin, making sure that nobody knew that it worked, running those hit campaigns that demonized Joe Rogan and Dr. Peter McCullough and all these guys that came out and spoke about the amazing use of ivermectin, the antiviral that was so unbelievable that it won the Nobel Prize for Science for its discovery in 2014, 2015. The group that was actively trying to suppress all of that was getting funded by FTX. And FTX said the reason for this is that they are very concerned with tracking emerging new viruses. I'm sorry, what the fuck are you even doing in the new virus world? You're a crypto trading platform, and a bad one at that. Why do you give a shit about new viruses? Why? Why are why are you guys pouring money into this? And then, of course, the corporate whore media has FTX's back in this whole thing. Here's a headline from just yesterday. This is weeks after this guy has been exposed for who he is and what he was doing. Just yesterday, the Washington Post's headline was, FTX collapse dooms founders' effort to prevent another pandemic. Forget that he stole $10 billion from customers. He's trying to prevent the next pandemic, goddammit. How dare you go out there and hold him to account for all this missing money? I mean, mistakes were made.
Fucking people in the media, man.
FTX, BLM, what's the difference? Money goes in, and then where does it go? It gets stolen and spent on Democrats. We have only scratched the surface of this. There's so much more. There's so much more. I'm going to look back on this episode a year or two from now and be embarrassed of how much of this I missed. But it's okay. I got what I got for now. This is what I found. It's dirty. It's dirty in a way that goes far beyond this just being some sort of bank robbery. It's way more than that. There's an ideological component to it that makes me very uncomfortable. Obviously, there's partners with the World Economic Forum and the Democratic Party, and the Clintons are involved, and Gary Gensler's involved. They got Bill Clinton on a stage with Tony Blair and SBF talking about saving the world. Mm-mm. No, this is a slush fund for these maniacs. They're running, it's a new money laundering operation. They got caught. They got busted. Crypto fell apart. Binance pulled a fast one on them. Boss move by CZ, by the way. Just fucking destroyed his competitor. He knew his competitor was over leveraged. Started a bank run on him. There's a whole lot more to this story. And if you liked what you heard so far, you can take the additional step right this second of sharing this episode with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression, the website, the octopus of globalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.